is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Hallelujah. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about the pattern of Passover and the great rescue that we have seen, and the pattern is there. God has released us from slavery, but we need to go out, face the wilderness, and take the promised land. We need to, just because we see the land doesn't mean we have taken it, but we're seeing it. Okay, we're beginning to see it. We have seen especially the slavery that we have been in. We've been a pot boiling. So my scripture for today is going to be Exodus 10, and I want you to notice how much it is about children. 10 and 2, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and I, thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am the Lord. And then there's locusts. We've got locusts in the world today. Big plague. And verse 9, and Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. How focused they were on their children. And you know also that time immemorial they've been focused on their heritage, their legacy of their family, even to the extent of wanting a pure bloodline. Right. So now we have played into the scurrilous vilification as if I'm about racism, which of course is obviously not true. Because we've all been grafted in Jesus. And if there's any place that is more integrated than the church, I sure don't know about it. Okay, so the point here is that God cares about our children, and that there is a great history in godliness about caring about children and about the family legacy. And anyway, we know what goes on in terms of the 10 plagues. You know that the 10 plagues were constructed as they were to confront the idolatry that was in Egypt. They had these gods, and each of them, I can't imagine worshiping locusts, but anyway, they worshiped the Nile, and the Nile became blood, and so forth. So, but verse 21, and the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. So the stories are for our benefit. There's type and shadows. And Satan has no creativity, only takes that which is and then twists it. Okay, and so they glory in darkness, but no, it's just not really good. You stumble over things and have your good stolen in the darkness. Hallelujah. But there was light in Goshen, and we have seen that in our time, haven't we? The people who had no light were frightened and terrified when nobody was chasing them, and the rest of us who had hope in God, we simply meekly followed the laws, and they weren't even laws, and unafraid and taken care of in the final analysis. And even if we had died, we wouldn't have been afraid. But anyway, I want to talk about the 10 plagues in terms of the great rescue that we have seen. Right, so our nation believes in science, but did science help us really? Did science help us? Wasn't it science? We know now, although there was some mocking of the suggestion when some scientists said, no, this came from a lab. They were mocked, these scientists from India. No, science created the scourge, and then the models. Were they intended to crash the economy? Well, they nearly did. Not just our economy, but the economy of the whole world and the monetary system of the whole world. And our nation believes in the dollar And what is the dollar based on? A dollar was about crashed. Maybe it should be. It's based on debt and not on productivity as a currency should be, and not on gold, some kind of rare and immutable substance. So we need to change what we believe in and not believe in the almighty dollar, but in the rare immutable substance of God, God's love and righteousness. Our nation believes in education. Well, not all of it, but some of us have been snookered into believing in education and achievement and that we should get rewarded based on, but it has been subverted into ideology, and we see that, and government, we think we are so great, and our government has been subverted in from protecting rights to some sort of oligarchical system where the elite give us slogans and spin and have us fighting with each other while they pick our pockets and our productivity. Back to science, but this is part of education too. So even science and technology has been subverted into ideology. One of my genius friends sat me down and was talking to me about the theorems of physics and said only 4 are taught when there are actually 16, but you have to get a very old textbook and hide it. He also tells me about all the great breakthroughs that would just make this planet an Eden, but somehow people get offed if they try to do that. Our nation believes in luxury and comfort, and through that we have become debased and addicted. Our nation believes in the experts who said things like, well, don't close your border, just wait for a vaccine. Our nation believes in experts who say, you can't take that costs pennies and could just wipe out even HIV, but many other things. You can't. No, you need to believe in us and our expertise and take chemo that will kill you, but not until after it's transferred your estate. Our culture, not just our nation, our culture, Western culture, although Eastern is, it's not particularly Western or Eastern, but it's the view of modernism that we've been sold and postmodernism. We believe in naturalism, realism, but it failed us when we were facing mass death because there is no hope in it. But supernaturalism seems to work reasonably well. And in fact, that's why people want to even find twisted and evil supernaturalism when they're not finding the wholesome and real naturalism in the church. So, but just plain, do you believe in God? Have you given your heart to God? Have you lived after good, fairness, righteousness, justice, and altruism? And if you have, then you're at peace if you face death. Maybe you don't want to die, so you can continue contributing to this world. Or maybe you're ready to go home, but you have, or even maybe it's the most tragic, but you're at peace because you know that your home is in the heart of God. And, you know, the other, as Oral Roberts said, the other side of that is stunning. He was old, and his family was telling him, be careful, Dad, be careful, Granny. He said, you are telling Oral Roberts to be careful? What's the worst that could happen? I will die. And the other side of that is just stunning. Our belief system has failed us. Hallelujah. But God has planned for a family so that everybody can be taken care of. And yet we've been told lies that's necessarily oppressive. And yet it's magnified the problems, and now nobody's taken care of because we don't depend on family and we reject duty. God has planned for religion to increase morality, and so we have a more safe society. God has planned for both health and healing as creator and also as redeemer, health and healing. And there is no way to reject the fact that supernatural healings happen when they're on television 3 or 4 times a day, every day. And at least that was true when Benny Hinn was on TBN and it came over the airwaves. Ask in any large crowd of Christians, have you seen a supernatural healing? You're going to have many hands go up. God has planned for reading and writing that truth may be passed down so that we can grow on the shoulders of our elders. And yet this has been debased by mandatory public education. God has planned for wholesome celebration, that the whole family can come in. And yet our society knows celebration only with addiction and things that you couldn't invite your children to. God has planned for love and honoring, love of all, honoring of all, and yet it seems that we have slidden into dishonoring of all. God has planned for nations and boundaries, and people from high to high are trying to overcome that so that they can rule us. But all of this has been revealed. The curtain has been pulled back on this. This in itself is a great rescue. The light has been turned on. Keep it on in Goshen. But don't stay in Goshen. This is the pattern of Passover. The 10 plagues confronted the false gods of the ruling empire of the day, and therefore permitted the children of Israel to escape their bondage. And this is true today also. The plague has revealed the false gods and has made a way of escape. Are you going to leave? Put your clothes on, take communion, and get out. Hallelujah. And there is a promised land, and you should see it now, and you will have to take it. You will have to take it. You can't just lay back. You can't say, oh, we can't do that. Our kids will be taken away. No, who dropped? Who dropped? In the wilderness. And who took the land? So we must pay attention to our kids. It is about the children. Hallelujah. And they will be in the land. You need to be in the land too. And while in Exodus it talks about the wilderness being a punishment, that you keep being in the wilderness as a punishment, in Deuteronomy it talks about that time as a time of seeing God and adjusting. Really, it's about us adjusting. Okay, so what is the end result? The end result is the desire of all nations comes. And that's Jesus, the desire of all nations. When all the kingdoms of this world shall have become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ. So it's not about one party ruling. It's not about even any humans ruling. But Jesus, who is the embodiment of real altruism and real justice. And you really can't have real altruism without real justice. And people are trying to give us substitutes. Hallelujah. God, this Jesus is the exact representation of a God who is for us, who came, emptied himself of Godhead, came for us to become a servant. He knew our, and therefore knows our situation. He's touched with our infirmities, our limitations. No other God can say that. And he died for us. And he rose for us. And so this ensures that we understand about miraculous power. He is a God who heals. He is a God who lives in our heart. He is a God who is love through us. He is a God who reaches out to all men and all people and nations. So this is a God of true equality and a God of true values. Hallelujah. God of supernatural power, a God who is specifically about children. I was at a conference, a virtual conference, and Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda from their church in Charlotte were streaming, and they brought in their guest speakers through the means of technology. Anyway, at the end of the service, they were calling out healings. And, you know, these are not spring chickens. They have miracles to tell about across the nations, and many, many, many people would testify. And Mahesh was calling out autism, and Bonnie was calling out autism. Hallelujah, high time. I remember 10, 15 years ago when I was definitely, you know, following so many of these healing ministries, and I was not hearing at that time healing of childhood learning disabilities, but this was called out. Autism is how it started, and then dyslexia and other kinds of problems. Cancer, yes, and yes, he tells the story of many, many, many women in Africa being able to conceive in his meetings there. They didn't conceive in the meetings, but they got healed in the meetings. You see, God understands the tears of a mother, the concerns of a father, because that's the way God is. He cares for us like a tender mother, like a father who wants the best for us and who wants that son to grow up and be part of the management of the company. And so we are also hearing about grown sons. If you're not hearing about that, I'm trying to preach it straight on Jesus. Let's see, Jesus' patterned son. But you hear from John Inlow about reformers, and it's such a deeper, more ringing, more meaningful thing than, you know, social justice or the social reforms that we've heard 120 years ago, that kind of theology. You know, it rings, and you know, it has a timbre so much greater even than the significant rings of the Reformation. We're hearing about servant leadership. It rings so much more than just be a little servant. No. Servant leadership is about leading in whatever vocation you're called, whatever sector of society you are called in. It's time that Christians grow up and to start looking like Jesus, who went about doing good and provided salvation, rescue, light, hope, freedom from bondage. Jesus went about doing good. Let's just look at that scripture. That's Acts 10 and 38. This is what the apostles said about Jesus to sum up Jesus's ministry. Acts 10 and 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There's a lot to that. Really, I think that most of my hearers are going to need to chew on what I said earlier about the plague revealing the bondage. But once you understand that, put that together with, you know, you've heard this, but has it rung in your soul that you are to go out and be like Jesus? Well, what was Jesus like? Well, first, he was anointed with Holy Spirit. What a great step forward it was. Well, not quite 120 years ago, Azusa Street and thereabouts, that there was a huge step forward in the church into Holy Spirit. And yet, and again, that there was an echo in the 60s and the 70s in the charismatic movement, and yet to this day it's fought against. Like, why would you fight against the Holy Spirit? Well, because they're Egyptian foremen. They want to keep you in bondage. Be like Jesus. Grow up. You're part of the family. God anointed Jesus with Holy Spirit and power. To do what? To go about doing good. To go about. Go. So the Great Commission is, we read it in English and it says, go into all the world and preach. But it says, in your going, go and teach all nations. We are to go in our various walks of life. Yes, some of us are called to be preachers, but many of us are called to be teachers and counselors and manufacturers and innovators and managers and doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs, and all of those people can bring the kingdom in what they do. And we need the kingdom. We need good managers. Street sweepers. We need people who hand us our hamburger with a smile and with the anointing, because you can free that sector of the cosmos wherever you are. Go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. And of course, this does mean literally healing people who are oppressed of the devil. But you know, we are oppressed of the devil in so many ways, and there can be healing. Somebody is heartbroken about whatever and goes into whatever little hamburger place, and you who are handing them their coffee can hand it with a smile, with a serviceful attitude that brightens their day and to that extent heals their heart. And you who are a manager can confront evil plans in your management and manage your team as if it were the kingdom in heaven, where everybody is expected to come up to their potential and permitted to come up to their potential and honored for their contribution and treated fairly, and you can bring the kingdom. Hallelujah. Go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. And how? Only through the anointing. You have to be connected with God. You have to channel the goodness and the strength and the grace of God. For God was with him. And God wants to be in, with, and on you through Holy Spirit. Great pattern. Great pattern of the freedom, the liberation from bondage. This is real liberty, is liberty in the Spirit. And a lot of other people have some other strange and shallow ideas that have proven to be bondage themselves. There's a snookering about, oh, this is liberation, and it becomes bondage. Oh, you can be better off if you only vote for us, because we will steal from other people and give to you. And there are whole nations that would like to tell you, like to grab you by the ears and say, no, don't do that. That's bondage. And there are other people, that's the communist nation. There are socialist nations who, it looks all good, but there's the highest suicide rate in the world in some of these countries that are rich and socialistic because they've left truth, and they've left real liberty, which is only found in God. Yes, I'm of course all good for making righteous and good policy at the national level, but we need people with Holy Spirit to do that, so that they are truly self-giving and not just using those slogans so they could be part of the elite oligarchy and steal from you and be pinky on the brain that you voted in. That's happened before. We've seen that before. The plague has come before, and it has unmasked evil. Choose this day which side you are on. The blood has been on the doorposts. Will you be saved, you and your house, as the death angel has passed? A death angel has passed us. And the light in Goshen has shown your way to a brighter land. Will you go into all the world and preach Jesus? Preach Jesus as Lord, for he is the desire of all nations. Hallelujah! And it is all about children. You need to talk about this with your children. They can't understand everything, you know, but the smallest can be told the stories. And as they grow up, you can explain the meaning behind the stories, the analogies, the typologies. And you can challenge them as they're teenagers to heroic living for God. If you yourself are that mature. It's all about the children. And you are. You are grafted in as a child of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants total well-being for our children. And this is the way. This is the way it comes. Accompany me now to the throne of grace. Lord, thank you for your liberation. We take your liberation. Thank you for your care for our children. We put not only our heart and our well-being, but our children in your hand. Come and fill my heart. I give my life to you. Fill my heart. I give my children to you. Fill our home. Take, protect our children and lead us on to being your kings and priests in your world. Hallelujah. Of altruism and love and justice. Amen. And please be sure to share this and then come back in our run up to Pentecost. We're going to talk about what to teach your kids about finances. And then we will explode in power at Pentecost. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.